turn in your Bibles tonight to 2 Peter, this time chapter 2. So all the slides will be right tonight, okay? Last week we ended chapter 1, and we talked about living in Scripture. And basically we used Matthew 4:4 as the theme that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And in verses 12 through 15, we basically see an admonition that we should not stop studying Scripture. We need to be careful to remember in verse 12. We need to be committed to reassure one another and also to encourage one another to read in verse 13. We need to be committed to endure in verses 14 and 15. All the way to the conclusion, until Christ comes back, we need to be studying Scripture. And then the second thing is we don't doubt Scripture. In verses 16 through 18, we don't doubt about Christ's power. In verse 16, it speaks for itself, and they saw it with their own eyes. They were eyewitness accounts. And folks in court, that carries a lot of weight. And then about Christ's glory that they saw in verses 17 through 18. And then lastly, in verses 19 through 21, don't forget who the author of Scripture is. These are words that can be completely trusted. I know that the Word of God is true. We proved it. I hope you've proved it too, that they're true. Words that are openly known. The Scripture is by no private interpretation. If someone says, I think, that's a warning sign right there. And then these are words that are given by God. We believe in this church that God's Word was breathed by His inspiration. And it is what God wanted us to know. And we need to know it. So that was the end of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. And now we are going to verses 1 through 9 of 2 Peter chapter 2 about living in warfare or living in war. There is a war going on for truth. And it's not about the election. It's about God. There is a war about going on for truth. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there's three parts of this passage tonight that we need to look at. The first one is found in verses 1 through 3. And we need to avoid apostasy. Apostasy is a turning away. We know that in the end time, there will be a falling away, that the love of many will wax cold because iniquity will abound. And that's happening. If you don't believe it, just turn on the news. Amen. It's happening. In verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 2, it says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. There are four parts that we need to examine in this verse tonight. The first one is we need to avoid false teachers, and we need to understand the history. False prophets and false teachers have been around since the Word of God has been around, since mankind has been around. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter 22 of the northern kingdom ruled by Ahab fighting the Syrians. And he asked the king of the south, Jehoshaphat, to come and help him. And they were going to go up and they were going to try to retake a town by the name of Ramoth Gilead. And so they went and they got all the prophets together. And if you remember, there were 400 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel that there was the contest about. Well, Ahab got his 400 prophets and he said, hey, can we go up and do the Syrians and win the Syrians? They said, go up. Go up. You're going to win. And some of them made little iron horns and said, with these horns, you'll push the Syrians out. And Jehoshaphat was sitting there looking at that. And he said this. In 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 8, He said, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man. He says, isn't there a prophet of God instead of these prophets that you made priest to tell us what the truth is? Folks, the truth comes from God. Amen. The truth should come from the men of God. It says, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imeah, by whom we may inquire the Lord. But I hate him. Why? For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. But in there's the whole issue. People don't like what they hear. And if they don't like what they hear, they go find someplace else until they can hear what they want to hear. And so, he says, concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Okay? Here's the point. When you surround yourself with false prophets, you don't want to hear the truth. Now, just go on the rest of the story. So they bring this guy in front of the two kings. It says, shall we succeed? Should we go up and fight against the Syrians? And the prophet said, yeah, go ahead and do that. Now, Ahab knew because Micaiah agreed with the other 400 that wasn't right. And he said, well, wait a second, why did you say this? And the prophet of God says this, is that people were standing in heaven. And he said, how can we convince Ahab to go and fight? And a spirit, evil spirit, came up before God. He said, I'll put a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets. And then Micaiah said what the truth was. He said, you go up and you fight against the Syrians, you're going to die. And so Ahab didn't like that one. He threw him in prison again. And on the way out, he says, see if it doesn't come to pass. Right? If it doesn't come to pass, I'm not a prophet of God. Because that was the key thing. If a prophet said that God said to do something and it happened, you knew it was from God. But if the prophet said it and it didn't happen, then they were a false prophet. False prophets have been around for history. Basically, pleasing men, saying what people want to hear. And it says here, there were false prophets also among the people. Peter is talking about the nation of Israel. He's talking about the Old Testament as a starting point in this verse. But then he goes to the second part of this. He says, even as there be false teachers among you. So the second part is, there avoid false teachers in the here and now. John writes in 1 John that you're supposed to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You don't know what people are talking about unless you have a standard to judge it against. And so, there's a problem. And Peter is talking to these, remember he called everybody pilgrims and strangers, to all those that were scattered abroad. He says, this is happening. The book of Revelation, there was false prophets in some of those churches. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 14 and 15, it says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And the next verse gives the reason. Beware of false prophets, which come into you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Let's go back to this verse real quick. It says, there will be false prophets among you who privily, they snuck in. If you remember the story of Nehemiah and rebuilding the walls, they were sending spies in among the people that were building the walls to try to defeat the work. And there are spies being sent in Peter's time into the church to try to destroy the work. As we've gone on Sunday morning, there were spies in the Judaizers going in Colossae to disrupt the church at Colossae and get them off track and off of the rule of grace. And it says they come in. And folks, today's church, the modern church, has led a lot of false prophets in. It's not. It's either out of, it's out of book and not out of God's word. And so Peter's just telling what the facts are. He says, in times past, there have been false prophets. He says, there's false teachers among you right now who sneak in. And the sad part about it is, people don't know enough of the Word of God to understand that they're false. They sound good, but they're not good. Avoid apostasy, avoid false teachers because of the heresies. Some of the modern heresies in the church today, that homosexuality is okay. That you could be a priest, or you could be a leader in the church with that. It's sin.
Right.
I don't care. It's sin. That you can do whatever you want and God loves you. No, you can't. You have to live by God's standard. And this is about God's standard. This is what 1 and 2 Peter is about. It's about living. And we're living in this warfare. And the problem is now we have false teachers in the church that we have to fight against because of the heresies. It says, what kind of heresies? Damnable ones. Ones that get the condemnation of God. And folks, it's happening. It's happening today. And you know what the heresies do? They divide the church. I think it's the church at Pergamos that says that there's just a few that are living righteously. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 18 through 19, it says, well, first of all, when you come together at church, talk about the Lord's Supper. It says, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. And Paul is saying, this is the reason the divisions are in the church. He says, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Folks, lies will bring division. Because if we're all, like Psalm 119 says, if we're all following God's word, we'll have unity. There is one word. There is one God. There is one body. There is one baptism. There is one faith. But this is what's happening in the end times. It's apostasy. And it's drawing people away. So, the history of false teachers. The here and now of false teachers. The heresies of false teachers. And you can see this in our churches today. But then there's a hereafter. There's a hereafter. You know, later on in 2 Peter chapter 3, it's going to talk about, wait a second, where's the promise of this coming? And where's all this judgment coming? And it's everything has the same way. Don't you get discouraged at times when you see people living wrong and they seem to get away with it? When they're living outside of God's will and everything seems to be going okay. The psalmist got concerned about this. Psalm 37 says, don't fret because of evildoers, but prosper. But in Psalm 73, got the last, these three verses here. But in the beginning of the psalm, he's talking about the wicked, and it doesn't seem they get away with everything. And here in our verse, it says, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Well, it's going to happen in God's time. We just need to tell the truth. And Peter says, it's going to happen. Just wait. And so, the psalmist is going through this crisis in his faith. Yeah, wait a second. Why am I doing the right thing and I'm getting persecuted for it? And people are doing the wrong thing and they're prospering. It doesn't make any sense. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. thou casteth them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment. Last Sunday night we studied about the lake of fire. We talked about Luke chapter 16 and the rich man and Lazarus. Rich man thought everything was going for him, and all the things that he should have been doing and not doing seemed to be getting away with it until he died. And then he figured out, he's in the wrong spot. He says, how are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. That's what happens if you follow this. And Peter is just given a warning. Paul gives a warning. Christ gave a warning. We need to be on the lookout for false teachers and false prophets. So, to avoid apostasy, falling away from God, avoid false teachers. Secondly, in verse 2, avoid false followers. I'm a follower of God. I'm a Christian. Verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. This word for pernicious is plastos. It's where we get plastic from. And what is plastic? It's something that can be molded into any shape that you want it to be. It's also talking about being destroyed. And so what these teachers are doing is they just go in this group and say, okay, we'll just talk about it this way. And then we'll talk about it this way over here. Folks, truth doesn't change. Amen. It can be presented differently, but it doesn't. The fundamental thing does not change. Okay? Why do they follow these people? Because they follow because it sounds good. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Folks, we need churches to preach on hell. Amen. We need churches to preach on Jesus and damnation and be ready for eternity. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their what? Own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having what? Itching ears. The second part of this verse is they evil speak of the truth. They are ignorant of the truth of Christ. False followers who follow false teachers are following false doctrine. And that means that they're ignorant of the truth. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19, it says, Paul's talking, he says, for many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Matthew chapter 7, not everybody says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. Whose end is destruction. The exact same word of pernicious. Whose God is their belly. And whose glory is their shame. Who mind earthly things. Folks, we need to talk about heaven. We need to talk about eternity. We need to talk about God. The eternal things. Not the temporary things of this world. So, avoid false teachers and avoid people who follow them. If someone said, well, I've heard this, check it out. See if it's true. We need to be like the Bereans to see if those things are true. So avoid false followers too. And then thirdly, to avoid false pretense. They're not in this false teachers and false prophets. They're not in for you. They're not in it for you. They don't care a lick about you. And through covetousness, shall they make with feigned words make merchandise of you. Feigned words, once again, is anything that they want to hear. To make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Here's the falsities of this. These false prophets are not concerned for you. The false pretense is that false teachers are really concerned for you. They're not at all. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, it says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourselves. Those are the prosperity gospel people, folks. God will supply all my needs. He's not going to make me rich. He could, but there'd be His reason for it. False teachers pretend that they're doing the best for you. They're not. It's a false pretense. They're not concerned for you at all. In Titus chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, it says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake, for personal gain. That's what the merchandise, making merchandise of you, is about. You servicing them, you helping them, you making them rich. Here's the other false pretense. They falsely believe that they are not under God's judgment. It says here, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Okay? Go back to Psalm 73, 17 and 18. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou set them in separate places, thou castest them down into destruction. Jude 1 verse 4. It says, for there are certain men crept in unawares. Verse 1, they went in privily, who were before of old, what? Ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Just because judgment's not immediate doesn't mean that judgment's not coming. Remember when we were kids? We did something wrong? And we thought we might have gotten away with something? And then, a day later, 2 days later, a week later, mom and dad come in and say, remember that? Uh-oh. I'm caught. That's what's going to happen to them. Just because you get away with it today, just because you can do it, well, God will stop me from doing it. No, He won't. You got a free will. You got a free will. You got a free will to do the truth or false. And in all these passages, we see that these people sneak in to the body of Christ. And they dispute the truth of God. And they get a large following because it sounds good. It sounds good. So, verses 1 through 3, avoid apostasy. Avoid false teachers. Avoid false followers. Avoid false pretense. Secondly, acknowledge God's judgment. In verses 4 through 6, there are three judgments that Peter talks about. And it's connected to verse 3. In verse 3, the thought is, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Don't see it coming, but it's coming. Acknowledge God's judgment. And basically, understand what God has done in the past on fallen angels. In verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment," which is what? At the great white throne in that time frame, when everything is thrown in the lake of fire. There are some angels in chains right now. They're not all there. All the demons are not chained up. They were cast out by Christ. I don't know why, and I'm not going to purport to know why. The issue is that all our angels reserved in chains. And oh, by the way, all the ones that are out here working now for Satan, they're going to get theirs one day. They will go to judgment. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them down, cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." I will tell you this, that from Scripture, this happened before creation, or as before man was created. Because how would Eve be deceived? So somewhere in that time frame, it happens. But God's going to judge them. God's going to judge them. Now some people think that these are the ones that are talked about. Some people believe in Genesis 6 that the sons of God are angels. I don't believe that. Okay? I do know that Jude verse 6 says this, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, God created them to work for Him and to glorify Him. And they did, and a third of them went away. And there was a fight in heaven with Michael and the archangels and them. And they were cast out of heaven. And the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, He has reserved an everlasting chain unto darkness unto the judgment of the great day." So here's a question. You want to follow false teachers and false followers under false pretense and go down the same judgment that these fallen angels have gone? Your choice. Your choice. But you need to acknowledge God's judgment. God is going to judge. He has to. He is just. Acknowledge God's judgment on a fallen world, verse 5. "And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." In Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." That's under evil influence. "And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth. It grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man from whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I had made them. But Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord." And the point of verse 5 is there were only 8 people saved out of the flood. Understand God's judgment. God judged the angels. They're in everlasting chains. That same God will judge you. God judged the world. He flooded it. And only 8 people went out of it. After 120 years of preaching by Noah, because of God's grace. And then you have on a fallen city. In verse 6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah," there's a lot of people just say, "Well, those are just allegories. They're just myths. They never existed." Oh, yes, they did. You know why? Because God's Word says they did. "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." Now here it's clearly spelled out why Peter's writing this. He says, these things happen for people to get right and do right and live godly, because you don't want to go through these judgments. On a fallen city that forgot God's judgment. Now, there's false teachers then, in the past. There's false teachers now. There'll be false teachers in the future. There's damnable heresies then. There are damnable heresies now. Romans chapter 1, verses 31 through 32. Did it work on mankind? No. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And there's the problem today, folks. Right there. People don't care. They don't care about God. They basically say God didn't exist. They don't care about right. Right is what I think it is. Not what some book says it is, or some God says it is. And they forgot this judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. But they also refuse God's word. When Christ sent out the 2x2 for the 70s by 2x2, he says, you go into the cities. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of the house or a city, shake off the dust of your feet, and look at the next verse. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Peter says, avoid apostasy, avoid false teachers, avoid false followers, avoid false pretense. Understand God's judgment and acknowledge that it happened. And he judged the angels that fell after Satan. He judged the world that went nuts before Noah. Oh, by the way, Christ said in the Gospels, he says, as in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man comes back. And then, not if you're dismissing the flood. There was never a flood. Most ancient cultures acknowledge that there was a worldwide flood. How did that happen? It's true. And then understand fallen city, Sodom and Gomorrah. Verses 7 and 9, the last point is acquire God's deliverance. Acquire God's deliverance. In verses 7 and 8, it talks about Lot's standing. It says, and delivered just Lot. So he keeps on the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. There are some interesting words in here. The first one is Lot standing with God. The word for just is not as the only one. The words for just means to be justified. Lot was justified in front of God. That's interesting. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment we accept Christ, we're justified in front of God. We can stand in front of God. It's just like our sins are all gone. Do we still have the capacity to sin after us? Absolutely we do. But as far as your eternity goes, you're set. You're justified in front of God. That's in verse 7. In verse 8, what words used twice? Righteous. Righteous. Really? If you just looked at Lot's account, you say, he's not worthy of heaven. But this is talking about the grace and mercy of God. This is kind of a precursor to the rapture. There are going to be people in heaven that you didn't think would make it. There are going to be people that you're looking for up there. You don't find them. So Lot's standing with God was he was justified, he was righteous. He didn't live that way. And folks, here's the newsflash. There's a lot of Christians don't live that way either. Even today. Lot's standing with the world. Well, in Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 3, it says, and there came two angels of Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. He was on the board, he's on the city council. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, behold now, my lords, turn it, I pray you, into the servant's house. I don't want you to see what's going on here. Someone, if Jesus Christ showed up at your house tonight, and knocked on the door and you knew it was Jesus, what would you hide in your house? What would you hide in your house? You don't want people to think that. Lots of, I don't want these angels to know where I'm living. Pray you in your servant's house, tarry all night, wash your feet. He shall rise up early and get out of here. Don't hang around, because you're going to see, I don't want you to see what you will see. Oh, folks, if we're living like that, you got a problem. And they say, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they heard into him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. So Lot was justified before God, but he was living in the world. He's trying to do both ends. And it doesn't work. And you know the story. And you'll say, hey, we're going to destroy the city tomorrow. And you go talk to your family and everything and get them to come over and get out. Because God's going to destroy the city. What did it say? When Lot went to his son-in-laws, they mocked him. What? You're now coming to us saying that God's judgment is coming? Well, what about last year or 2 years ago or 3 years ago? Didn't bother you then. Why is it bothering you now? A wasted testimony. That's where he vexed his righteous soul. Powerless. And folks, when we follow false things, we're powerless for God. Oh, by the way, if you do the count, God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 people. There were 10 people in Lot's families. When you take all the son-in-laws and daughters and daughter-in-laws and his wife and his two other daughters, there's 10 there. He couldn't even win his family. You know why? Because he vexed his soul by living in the world. James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You may still be saved, but you're not living like that. You're not living like you are. In verse 9, we see God's safety. And the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. and to reserve the unjust of the day of judgment to be punished. God knows what it would take to get you out of where you are right now. He knew what it was going to take Lot out. Verses 15 through 16 of Genesis 19, it says, when the morning rose and the angels hastened to Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and drug him out of the city. Okay? And upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them, and he brought them forth and set him without the city. But we know what happened to Lot's wife. He still looked back. And God's judgment was there. God knows what it will take, and he will continue to deliver. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of the temptations. In Psalm chapter 56, verse 13, it says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, and wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? God knows how to deliver. You need to acquire God's deliverance tonight. And then you need to listen to the warning as I close. He says, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27, it says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Are you looking over your shoulder to see if God's there, seeing what you're doing? Are you following the false of the world, or are you following the truth of God? Are we winning or losing this battle? So in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on to eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. How is your profession tonight? Is it godly? Or does God need to work on you a little bit and fix us? I think we all need to have God work on us. Let's win, amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, just ask me this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts. And Father, help us, Lord, to follow you. And to fight a good warfare, Lord. And not to follow lies, but follow your truth all the time. That we would know the difference between right and wrong, truth and lie, godly and ungodly, clean and unclean. Help us, Lord, tonight. We're a needy people. Work your way through your Holy Spirit. And grant us deliverance. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.